This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Protocol for Life Balance, offering a wide range of professional-grade supplements using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, two stand out, which help nourish your brain: Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP. Protosorb Magnesium features a patented form of magnesium that easily crosses the blood-brain barrier, delivering magnesium directly to your brain. Cogumin SLCP features optimized curcumin, which also allows free curcumin to cross the blood-brain barrier. Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP are highly innovative products that help nourish your brain. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it's our weekly Q&A with Layla. Things are sort of getting a little slowed down for summer, you know, but we're back July. After a 4th of July holiday weekend. How was your 4th of July?
Oh, nice. Quiet.
Did you work on your house?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Is it coming along, or is this...
It's coming along, and I hurt my back, but that's getting better, and that so goes it. How about you?
Did you call the Occupational Safety and Health Administration on your boss?
Yeah, I'm going to sue.
Who is your husband?
Yeah, I'm going to sue Paul.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, unsafe working conditions.
Slave labor.
What's he doing? Is he having you, like, do the roofing or something?
Oh, I haul stuff. I have bruises all over my body. Well, really, pretty much. And just hauling stuff, bringing stuff, being a gopher, you know, that kind of thing. And then...
Because when you're done with the house, we have a little work at my place that...
That's okay.
What's your billable hour?
Right.
It's cheaper than a nutrition consult, I hope.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Your hourly rate
way
is like $1.50?
Yeah.
Something like that.
If not, yeah.
Right. this week, we have a bunch of questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is mm-hmm. the destination for questions. I had a very nice, restful... Mm. A staycation, but, you know, enables me to exercise and hang out with family and
that's nice.
Do fun stuff and, you know, cook up a storm and, you know, and,
yeah.
we had sort of like audition nights, you know. Usually I just do the cooking, but it was like such a long, protracted week that we had sort of guest appearances by the guests. And one of the more interesting dishes was, one of our guests made key lime pie out of limes, but the filling wasn't a custard filling. It was made from avocado.
Oh, wow.
And it was delicious with a...
The texture. Avocado
right.
is really good for that.
And there was so much lime flavor that it kind of overwhelmed the avocado taste. Very limey and a little bit of honey because, you know, got a little sweetness.
You need
some and sweetness. It had it was a cashew crust.
Wow.
Cashew.
That sounds delightful.
Right.
Yeah.
Or was it pecan? It was a pecan crust. I think it was a pecan crust.
You know what's a really exceptional crust?
Yeah.
Besides almond? Walnut.
Okay.
Walnut
wow.
is a fabulous crust.
Okay.
Like, I prefer it over
right.
almond crust.
And it was actually made raw, so it was sort of raw paleo.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then there was also and it's nice because you don't have to put it on the stove, did a raw paleo lasagna.
Ah.
With the strips were...
let me guess, zucchini?
Zucchini.
Maybe eggplant?
Right. And the filling...
Sliced lengthwise.
The filling was cashew. It was a cashew filling.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, you know, why go to these outrageous lengths to replicate things that are scrumptious and delicious? I mean, some people have problems with wheat and some people have problems with dairy, so it's an alternative. I can give you the recipe for our patients.
Right. Use like the
and it's from a paleo cookbook. So that was fun. And, you know, so everybody joined in.
Mm-hmm.
We had sort of communal cooking.
Wonderful.
And an amazing fireworks display in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The police had confiscated some fireworks, I believe. Some weird story. And so they had this big stash of fireworks and they set them all off in somebody's backyard.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a controlled... controlled demolition.
Yeah. I went to sleep early, so I kind of missed the fireworks.
I usually do. That's from all that hard work lugging things, right?
Right. Like, I'm tired now. Good night. That's
you're to no energy for revelry. Okay. So getting to stories, before we get to questions, radioprogram@AOL.com. I reviewed on a recent episode of Intelligent Medicine a study that I think you might find interesting. It's It goes to that argument, if you want to lose weight, what's better, exercise or follow a good diet? And the answer is?
Follow a good diet.
Thank you.
That's 80%.
And so the question that's sometimes posed, and actually this is the basis for an article by Gretchen Reynolds in the New York Times. She's on their exercise beat. She's written a book about exercise.
So exercise is important.
So she's a health journalist who has a real focus on exercise. Mm-hmm. And so what they found was kind of interesting is people didn't lose much weight with exercise, mm-hmm. But they were told to eat what you want. You know, they weren't told to, they were just said, eat your regular food. We're going to either give you no exercise, a little bit of exercise, or a lot of exercise.
Yeah.
And with either a little bit of exercise or a lot of exercise, I don't know, maybe it wasn't enough. Because, I mean, if you put people on marathon training,
they could eat that pint of Haagen-Dazs at the end of it and still not gain weight,
These
probably.
These were overweight, metabolic syndrome adults.
Right. Whereas a marathoner is not starting out that way.
Yeah. But so what ended up happening is they didn't lose weight. Mm. So what they looked at a variety of parameters. They looked at their metabolic rate. They said, maybe exercise inadvertently slows down metabolic rate, you know.
Well, what does slow down metabolic rate is weight loss.
Yeah.
The less you weigh, the lower your metabolic rate.
Right.
Almost sounds insane. Why should that happen? Because now you have to work harder.
So there's that thermostat effect that sort of like keeps your weight, sustains your effect. But what appears to be the case in this is something called moral licensing, which is, I worked out today. I can have that dessert.
Yes.
And it didn't take much. So on average, the people who exercised ate about 125 calories more per day, which adds up. So 125 calories, you help me out. What is that?
That's like half a Snickers bar.
Or a small apple, maybe?
Yeah. No, a small apple is going to be more like 80 calories.
Okay.
Something like that.
Or a decent-sized apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
125 calories could also be about, 12 almonds, 15 almonds.
So it's not a heck of a lot, but they made up for it. So they also surveyed these people as to their attitudes about exercise. And they found that the weight gain was more likely, or the weight stasis, because it wasn't a lot of weight gain, it was just stuckness, was more likely to occur in those who had the attitude that exercise justified a reward.
Ah.
Right.
So all the calories they burn, they replace.
Right. So this is why I think people are in this merry-go-round of like, I'm exercising like crazy, I can't lose weight, I can't. They also noted increased appetite. Duh.
Yeah.
Because acutely what exercise does for me is it kills my appetite. So if I wake up and I go, I'm kind of hungry, but I'll take a bike ride. It's like I forget about it.
Right.
Until I come back, then I'm very hungry.
Yes.
But the exercise can alleviate a transient exercise.
Exactly. That's the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And then that wears out about an hour. And then you'll start to get hungry,
right.
Typically.
Although it's kind of hard to eat while you're exercising. But I saw I was cycling this weekend, I saw this guy, serious cycler, and he was eating a banana while riding.
Not gummies or raisins?
No,
or
it was just he didn't want artificial food, he wanted a real banana.
Yes.
But who knows, this guy may have been on his 50th mile or something, at that point. So he needed his carbs, and he looked pretty lean and fit. But anyway, so this I thought it was an interesting study on to that effect. Mm-hmm. And Also in the news is zinc for blood sugar control.
Ah.
New research suggests that zinc supplementation may have potential for preventing or managing diabetes.
That's interesting.
And certainly zinc plays a role in many enzymatic reactions in the body.
Zinc is an aromatase inhibitor.
Okay.
I just did a podcast on aromatase inhibitors. Zinc was one of them, to my
surprise.
And so
explain to what... Do you mean to what end is that?
In that it inhibits aromatase.
So it helps. It can help your sex drive.
It can. But the testosterone and that
the testosterone doesn't go to estrogen, body mass, and so forth,
helping you maintain a better weight, that can help with blood sugar and vice versa. The kind of
maybe that's one mechanism.
Zinc also helps the thyroid.
Okay.
To establish optimal metabolism, zinc along with selenium.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody, you know, that's interesting.
You did
zinc is an important mineral.
You did a podcast on collagen.
Yeah, I did.
What's your take?
Oh, collagen, all kinds of benefits besides hair, skin, nails, joints. That's a very important one. Immunity, even some cardiovascular effects because endothelial function.
Protection, the lining
protection,
of the arteries.
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. So it's very important. And I know all the things that are in vogue with collagen and taking collagen powder in your smoothie and so forth and so on. Make soup. Make stew. Make it from scratch. Make broth. Drink it every day. Start your dinner with a bowl of consommé. Do that. Drink a mug of broth instead of
a lot of people are getting instant collagen from the health store. Is that good stuff, or should they make their own collagen?
Well, no, I prefer, you know, I'm always...
comes in a packet. It's like
it
dehydrated.
It comes in a packet. It's easy enough to make your own.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you want to pay for that packet, number one? If it's convenient, that's fine. I just don't like that they're putting collagen in flavors now, in things of the chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and doing all this. Who wants bone broth like that? I want it to taste like broth.
Well, there's actually bars that are collagen bars. But they're chocolate flavored or something. It's a gimmick.
Get the bone marrow out of that lamb chop you just had.
Okay.
Make some soup with those leftover bones.
Good.
Do something like that. Yeah.
Definite benefits. All right. So listen to that podcast. Find it at drhoffman.com. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to questions, please.
Let's see here. We've got one from Peter. This is very interesting. He writes about natokinase. I was having itchy varicose veins and started taking natokinase before bed. I've noticed that they no longer itch and my hemorrhoids improved. I would be interested in your thoughts on this.
Okay, well, that's what's called an N of one experience.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, we would have to test that hypothesis.
N being the number of subjects.
Right.
So one subject.
One. It's
one person.
One for
anecdotal.
One. You know, it's like... you know, I put garlic in my socks and my cold, you know, got better right away, you know. Great.
Uh-huh.
You know, I slept with garlic in my socks. But there's some plausibility to that.
Yeah.
So natokinase contains vitamin K,
mm-hmm.
but also contains some things that may work on circulation. And we know that hemorrhoids and varicose veins are about stasis.
Yeah.
The lack of circulation.
Yeah.
So,
natokinase does have a blood thinning effect.
Okay.
A little bit.
Right.
Some people use it instead of aspirin.
Right.
On their doctor's
or
advice or something.
Stroke prevention. You
yeah.
know. Right.
Yeah. So that's probably what's helping.
But that's the arteries. And working on the veins, natokinase is not as well known as something that's good for the veins.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there we would think of horse chestnut. We would think of, Collinsonia. We would think of bioflavonoids like rutin, pycnogenol, roxarutin, hesperidin.
Hmm.
These are some of the things that are thought to be helpful for the veins.
Yeah.
Butcher's broom. These are all, you know, vitamin C with rose hips.
Yes. Yes, vitamin C. So that's interesting. So it's possible, Peter, that the natokinase helped you in this way. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be on the lookout for it.
Yeah.
Natokinase is really interesting stuff. It's actually, I was interviewed about 30 years ago, really in the beginning of my career, by a film crew from Japan, by the person who is the Barbara Walters of Japan.
Ah.
If anybody still remembers who Barbara Walters was, but we knew who Barbara Walters was because she was like the number one female host at the time on the air. It was Barbara Walters, who's like 4'8", you know, very small.
Uh-huh.
And she interviewed me with a translator.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were fascinated was is that there was an American doctor who was actually, advocating natokinase in the day when nobody knew what natokinase was in this country.
Hmm.
And it was because of a macrobiotic food, which is, you know, rich in, it's called natto.
Natto.
And natto delivered natto kinase. And the Japanese were already looking into research that showed that it was anti-aging and that it was beneficial for circulation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounded a little folk, you know, like folklore-y in those days. Like, okay, just because the Japanese think it's great, well, it's a Japanese food, they're going to obviously be excited about their own national dish. It turns out they're right. Subsequently, 30, 35 years of research, and they now know the natto kinase has these exceptional qualities that promote circulation. It's a rich source of vitamin K, which we don't get a lot of in the diet.
We don't.
The vitamin K2, that is.
Yes.
Vitamin K1 comes from fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
But
primarily leafy greens,
So there you have it. I mean, I'm open to it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see some more research on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that research is ever going to be performed because it's a little bit of a niched kind of thing. Is, you know, hypothesis, is natto kinase helpful for vein problems? Mm-hmm. Who's going to conduct the research? Is there enough money? Yeah. If it were a drug, yes, but it's, since it's a natural product, I'm not sure.
I remember also back in the day, if I may say, that a lot of people were taking natto instead of aspirin, as I mentioned earlier, but it doesn't have a blood thinning effect the same way that aspirin
does.
No,
it can't. It's not likely to make you hemorrhage or bleed.
Yeah.
It's more prevents clots.
Yeah.
But.
Mm-hmm. There we go. So, Peter, take the natto. That's great. Thank you for that comment. Oh, let's see here. This comes from Marlene. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Thank you for all the information you offer in all shapes and forms on your breathtaking website.
Oh, wow.
It's incredibly user-friendly, clear, and very appealing in its appearance.
That's a lovely compliment. There. Yeah, great.
I was looking in the beverage / shake section of the recipe index of your website. Presently, there is nothing listed. Could you please recommend
this person really looked at the back end of the website here, because I haven't looked at that part of the website for like 10 years.
I know.
And so there is a reason for that.
Yes.
And we created at that time categories.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you create something and then it's like, meh, you know, it's like, we changed our mind a little bit on that. So we're neither of us real enthusiasts about beverages or shakes, right?
That's true. Yeah. I couldn't tell you the last time I had a smoothie.
Right.
Quite honestly.
Right.
I like to eat my food. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to chomp on those berries, not put it in a blender.
Yeah, you know, what is helpful, and it may be helpful for blood sugar, according to some studies, is whey protein. You know, just the amino acid admixture of whey protein, plus its ability to support glutathione production may be helpful for some people.
Yeah.
I used to advocate smoothies. I remember I would tell people to make a green drink, but it wasn't like a powder. It was fresh.
It was fresh. You take some fresh spinach, a little bit of fresh kale, 3 Brazil
anything
nuts.
Anything green, romaine lettuce.
Yeah, and put it in a blender, and as your liquid, use some green tea. And you have something.
And strain it.
So
you're not getting like pieces of lettuce in your teeth.
Exactly, but
it's a green drink.
Where's the fiber?
Right.
Yes, you know.
Right.
You're missing out on the fiber.
Supposedly, I mean, you're getting all the enzymes and you're getting the... But I actually think that you don't want to have your juice in isolation. You want the plant fiber.
You want the plant fiber. You also, if you are juicing or making a smoothie, you want to drink it immediately, not save some for later or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because when you process a food like that...
It's tarnished.
When you blenderized it up, the nutrition is already diminishing.
Yep.
As we speak.
And it's literally changing, and it'll go rancid.
Its
color will change. You'll go from a bright green to a brownish color.
Right.
You know?
And the other disadvantage to drinking your food, there are two, drinking your food rather than eating it, is impact on blood sugar. You're not getting, besides the fiber
and satiety.
Stuff, it's, yes, because you're drinking it, you're not feeling it as much. It's not necessarily filling you the way it would if you chewed and swallowed the food. And the second disadvantage is your teeth and your gums need to be chomping and chewing and masticating to stay healthy, not drinking all these drinks.
Right.
You know, when I think of constantly having
have an Ensure.
Yeah, a liquid meal replacement. I keep thinking geriatric.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like to go there.
You know, what they discovered is that there weren't enough geezers to support the business model for Ensure. So now they wanted to market to like busy individuals, you know,
and
like
even kids.
I'm too quick, you know, I got to run off to work, you know, I got to get in the car at like 6 o'clock to commute my 2 hours to get to work, you know, that whole thing. And so I just drink like whatever. And they rebranded it. They don't call it, you know, there are other names for these kind of Boost and things like that.
Boost, Glucerna is one for people with blood sugar problems.
And, you know, when I drink those, first of all, your stomach rumbles because it's kind of gurgling around in there, and there's not enough fiber to slow the transit. And also,
it's full of sugar.
Even the ones, even if I make it myself, you know, when I don't add sugar, it doesn't have as much satiety effect. Mm-hmm. You know, even if I put a fair amount of fat in there, I'll put like coconut oil and I'll put like flax oil. And
you want your stomach to be churning it and digesting it. But once you've churned it and pre-digested it in your Nutribullet or your blender, it's been done. There's really no work for your teeth, your gums, your stomach, your digestive system. You
and there's
keep that
there's
going.
An appeal to that. I mean, there's this guy who runs around. His name is Joe the Juicer. He's extremely, I mean, it's like people really follow him on social media, or at least he creates that impression, that he's like revolutionizing the whole, you know, food scene by urging the people juice. And he looks great. He looks so healthy. It's like a testimony to the efficacy of the juicing. And so, I mean, for some people, it might be preferable to just chowing down on a greasy burger. I don't know. But, you know, as part of the regimen of people who are generally healthy, we don't recommend it.
No. I mean,
as a detox, maybe.
Maybe.
Here's the other thing is that people who juice, they often like, I like to juice. Or really? Okay. Why do you like to juice? Well, I put a little apple. I put a little pineapple. Basically, you become a hummingbird. You are sugar-seeking missile.
Right.
You're going to find it wherever it is. So it's like, instead of like...
People are juicing apples and carrots.
They're not juicing... Oh, here's another thing. Kale. You know, you can't usually get in trouble with eating kale, but if you juice a ton of kale, a lot of oxalate, number one.
A lot of goitrogen.
And a lot of goitrogen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're called thiocyanates, where it's hard to eat enough kale to actually suppress your thyroid or create oxalate stones, you know, kidney stones and... some, you know, types of arthritis are associated with oxalate. So that's to be a concern. And then there's, you know, people use spirulina, which is that other thing that, you know, people sometimes, the green thing.
Right.
And that's
for
a
detox.
We don't know how viable that is once it's dehydrated, but it's also, there's some concerns. Some Dr. Weil wrote something recently about how neurotoxins may be concentrated in spirulina. Because it's a, you know, this algae sometimes elaborates neurotoxins.
Yeah, so you have to be careful. You want to source things well. And again, I'm not a fan of meal replacement, except in my geriatric patients who aren't eating enough calories.
Right.
And I want them to have more calories.
Well, sometimes I will say, this person can't swallow, can't eat. They've had like radiation therapy or to the throat or something. And I say they need some kind of liquid thing. And you, what do you tell them?
Or a thicker liquid or something like that. I like a whey protein powder. Right. I like hemp protein.
Put a little coconut in it.
Put a little coconut in. Hemp
for
protein
fat.
Is a complete protein, which is very exciting because it's very hard to find a plant protein that's a complete protein other than soy.
Okay.
And soy is a goitrogen and problematic for many people. It's one of the top 8 food allergens, so we want to be careful there. But hemp is a very good source, so that could be something.
But that's if that's when they really cannot get adequate sustenance with solid food.
And for my elite athletic patients who need that extra protein boost.
Right. There is that thing.
Different.
There is that thing where, was it like a bedtime dose of protein can assist with muscle
repair overnight.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
I never do that, but, you know, I'm not working out at that level. You know, I mean, you got to work out pretty darn. You really have to be a tremendous athlete with a lot of muscle damage to require that, in my opinion.
To require something like that. You might add some D-ribose in there as well. That can help with muscle recovery. That's often very good for muscle recovery. And there are different types of plant proteins, Marlene, that you could use, because Marlene was looking for a non-dairy smoothie. Pea protein. should be fine. You could do egg protein, rice protein.
Pea protein is popular these days.
Yeah.
Because it's hypoallergenic and well-tolerated. And you know, you think of, ugh, pea protein, but actually they've made it very smooth and palatable.
I love a good steaming bowl of split pea soup that I've made from scratch.
Oh, okay.
Or it could be yellow split peas, too.
Not totally paleo, because it's an...
No, because it's a legume.
It's actually a pulse.
It's a pulse. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So green or yellow split peas are nice that way. Let's see. Yeah, but yeah, eat your food, Marlene, if you're looking for something. Take real food, the amount that you would eat, say, in your salad bowl, not more than the amount that you would eat. Put that in your blender or NutriBullet. You could pulse it up and see what you get in your glass and enjoy it that way. But if you're looking for a particular brand of meal replacement kind of thing, no.
I'm not keen on it.
I'm not keen on it, really. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right, but thanks for the complimentary look at our website.
Thank you for
and,
taking a look
And doing
there.
A deep dive on there and, you know, kind of looking behind the curtain a little bit to see. All right, well, that's all the time that we have for part one.
Wow.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. And in part two, give us a preview of what we're going to talk about.
Could this beneficial bacteria impact your aerobic performance?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's intriguing.
Probiotics for athletic achievement.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is your weekly Q&A with Layla, part of our Intelligent Medicine podcast series, and we'll be right back.